Before we go to public employee comments, I would like to say, we wish to welcome our newest member of the board of trustees, trustee Lucy Chiara. Trustee Chiara, welcome, and if you'd like to say any words, and just,
Yes, sure thing. Thank you. Very happy to be here. My background is in the education and nonprofit sector, working in a number of communities around the country, including here in the Chicago region, really trying to make sure that the next generation of young people are prepared for success, not only in the classroom, but as they pursue post-secondary education, and as they pursue different careers in the workplace.
Thank you. Welcome everyone to our first in-person meeting in a while. We have one other new trustee that is Dr. Cheryl Watson,
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Yes.
And Chair Zott?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. The minutes have been approved. Next is the report from President Scott, and there I'll turn it over to you, President Scott.
Thank you, Dr. Cheryl. I'm on the monitor. Remarks about our Chicago State. I'm also happy to welcome back everyone to an in-person meeting for our Chicago State Board of Trustees, and also welcome to CSU Press Trustee Pierre. This week marks our final exam period for the spring semester, signifying the end of the academic year. Our reflection of the 2021-22 academic year is highlighted by the safe full-time return the campus by our students, faculty, and staff. Our safe return was made possible by our campus-wide preparation efforts that were accomplished by a campus-wide committee reflecting our commitment to shared governance. Our vigilance and operations that included the support of a campus COVID-19 task force, daily free testing resources, campus vaccine clinics, which have allowed Chicago State's campus case rates to remain low throughout our entire academic year. I want to put a few minutes on our legislative session that ended with a budget for Chicago State. During the last legislative session, the Illinois General Assembly passed an FY23 budget. On April 19th, Chicago State was honored to welcome Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, Lieutenant Governor Julianne Stratton, our 17th District Senator L.D. Sims Jr., and our State Rep Nick Smith, and other members of the Illinois General Assembly of Chicago State for the Governor's ceremonial signing of the fiscal year 2023 Illinois State budget. The $46.5 billion budget includes record support for the state's math grant program, making an Illinois college degree more accessible for the state's students. Additionally, Chicago State University students Nicole Washington, James Elam, and Maria Sierra shared their remarks during the budget signing about the importance of this investment on their futures as students in higher education. CSU applauds the administration and General Assembly for their commitment to higher education. Chicago State also remains committed to providing our students with access to resources they need to be successful. Our critical upgrades to our campus facilities are integral to academic programming and the student experience. You may have seen the construction work in process outside of JBC as you drove into campus today. I am excited to report that our campus pools and construction and renovations to our campus pools is well underway with the process with the date set for completion in late summer. You will also soon begin seeing campus lighting work, sidewalk work, and parking lot work, all which are sorely needed at a budget that is slightly over $6 million. These projects are being funded by the state and being monitored and managed by the State Capital Development Board. I also attended this past month the yearly meeting of the Thurgood Marshall Member Schools. This meeting is supported by U.S. Senator Tim Scott and took place in Washington, D.C. The meetings, called the fly-in, permit members to engage and hear from federal legislative leaders. This year's fly-in was attended by close to 20 historically black college presidents and me. Over the day and a half meeting, the presidents attended an opening reception, a reception attended by Representative Bobby Scott, Chair of the House Education and Labor Committee, Senator Tim Scott, Senator Cory Booker, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Delaware Senator Chris Coons, and Illinois Federal Rep Danny Davis, Rep Alma Adams, and numerous others. It was a great meeting for our president. We continue to receive increased operations and student financial support from corporate entities. You may recall that we received branding and PR support from the Publicis Group companies called Spark Foundry and Leo Burnett. We have now begun a new pro bono engagement with this team to review how our new brand has been deployed in ways to expand this work to deepen brand recognition and brand identity. The university has continued to prioritize providing students with the financial assistance needed to complete their degree. In partnership with Sterling Bay, I'm pleased to announce the establishment of the Sterling Bay Scholar Program. The program provides 2 years of financial professional support for one student each academic year as they prepare for a career in the life sciences. Our first Sterling Bay Scholar is Jillian Tyson, a sophomore pre-nursing major from the Chicago's Urban Gresham neighborhood. Upon graduation from Chicago State, Jillian plans to pursue a doctorate of nursing practice degree and work in pediatric medicine. Chicago State is proud to partner with Sterling Bay in our shared endeavor to strengthen the pipeline of talented, diverse diverse students as they move into the life science industry. I'd like to take a moment to announce the appointment of an interim director of intercollegiate activities. Our new interim director is Jessica Poole. Jessica, if you could come up and introduce yourself to our board. Jessica most recently served as the CSU Deputy Athletic Director and Chief Operating Officer.
My name is Jessica Poole. As President Scott mentioned, I previously served as our Deputy Athletic Director, Chief Operating Officer. I've been at CSU since January of 2020, and excited to serve at the university and our student athletes in this role.
Great. Jessica, could you give us a little bit of background before you came to Chicago State?
Sure. I have been in college athletics probably close to 16 years. I came to Chicago State from Florida Atlantic University, where I served as Senior Associate Athletic Director for External Operations. Previously, I was at Vanderbilt University, and before that, I was at Ole Miss for 5 years, primarily working in external relations and communications.
Thank you. I'd like to conclude my remarks by sharing that on April 28th, Chicago State welcomed the Chicago Urban League and the National Urban League to our campus. Specifically, along with these two entities, they were represented by Mark Morial, President and CEO of the National Urban League, and they came to our campus for a youth summit. During the Youth Summit, Urban League leaders heard directly from Grammar and high school students regarding their relationship with the criminal justice system and policing. Over 250 youth participated in activities focused on voter registration and STEM, and had an opportunity to meet with members of the Chicago State Admission Team. This concludes the President's report to the board. I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Are there any questions for President Scott? This is important. You guys have been busy as usual. Did you mention the upcoming commencement?
Our commencement will take place
I would like to report, yes, we are in finals week. That's why it's very quiet here as students finish out that last of those semesters. But next week begins our celebration, as commencement is scheduled for May 12th at 11 o'clock. Hopefully you can join us as we celebrate. Next week is also our induction ceremonies and pudding ceremonies across the campus. So we look forward to the excitement of ending the semester next week. One thing I did want to share in my report is you may have heard that Lincoln College, a small private institution down in Lincoln, Illinois, recently announced that it was closing. Because that institution was closing, we reached out to them to offer support if they plan their teach out plan for their students. Lincoln College is actually a small PBI, so we were able to send a team down to them to support the transition of their students, and we put in our application to HLC and presented a teach-out plan with 11 articulation agreements for many of their majors at that institution. When we attended their transfer fair, I think it was April 15th or so, we had over 50 students who were interested in potential transfer to Chicago State, 30 of which applied for admission on the spot, and faculty and student affairs and admission staff continue to reach out to those students as they are making their adjustment due to the closing of that institution. So I am very proud of the CSU family in moving very quickly to present our teach-out plan to the HLC for approval, as well as the support that they gave to students when they went down to encourage them to continue their education. So we will provide you with more details on the yield from that experience in the time to come. But today I have two resolutions that I'd like to bring forward. One is the granting of tenure status. We have six individuals who have been evaluated within their departments by their faculty, chairs, and deans, and demonstrated superior teaching, significant progress in research and service to the campus as well as their department. So I would like to present and for recommending for tenure to Dr. Ina Dolshenka, who's associate professor in the Department of Education Studies. Professor Thomas Lucas, who's associate professor in the Department of Art and Design. Dr. Rayanne Montague, associate professor in the Department of Computing, Information, Mathematical Sciences, and Technology, and her specialty is in library information systems. Dr. Rupa Patti, who's an associate professor in the Department of Nursing. Dr. Conchetta Williams, who's an assistant professor in the Department of English and Foreign Language. And Dr. Ahid Yamani, who's an associate professor in the Department of County and Finance, all of which we would like to be considered for tenure at this time.
Are there any questions for Dr. Roundtree on the tenure resolution? All right. In that case, is there a motion to approve the resolutions conferring tenure on Dr. Ina Dolshenko, Thomas Rayanne Montague, Rupa Patti, Conchetta Williams, and Ilanha Yamani? Can I get a motion?
Second.
Ms. Bates, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Tiara?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Yes.
Chair Zuck?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes.
Thank you. And I believe you have one more resolution, right, Dr. Roundtree?
Yes. And our last resolution is for Professor Emeritus status for Dr. Hakeem Matabuti. Dr. Matabuti was a professor here for over 26 years in the Department of English and Foreign Language. He also established our Gwendolyn Brooks Center, which also led to the naming of this library as the Gwendolyn Brooks Library. He helped to develop our Masters of Fine Arts in Creative Writing, along with the chairperson, Kelly Ellis. And he has been instrumental in developing the Black Writers Conference, which is a hallmark of creative art at CSU, where we host every other year over 200 Black writers from across the country. So we would like him to, he has been approved by the faculty in the English and Foreign Language Department, the chair, the dean, as a recommendation for Professor Emeritus.
Are there any questions for Dr. Roundtree on the Professor Emeritus standing for Dr. Matabuti? All right, as we prepare to vote on the resolution, I just want to remind the board that this recommendation falls outside the timing window under our board regulations, which is that require that the recommendation should occur within 6 months of the professor's conclusion of service to the university. However, based on unanimous support for this recommendation on the part of the faculty, the provost, and the president, and on Dr. Matabuti's enormous contributions as a scholar and to this university, we are considering it now. Can I get a motion to waive the timing requirement for the board's regulations and to approve the resolution granting Professor Emeritus status to Professor Hockey Matabuti?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Ms. Basley, please call the roll.
Yes. Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Tiara?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Yes.
And Chair Zuck?
Yes.
There's no other questions. That concludes my report.
Dr. Roundtree, before you leave us, you received a very important recognition recently as a result of your incredible career and work, and I can't find my notes, so I would, but I don't want to have this moment pass without recognizing you. So can you do me a favor and please just tell the board what recognition you just received? It's like as a recognition of your lifetime service and in your profession.
Yes, I'm very honored to have received induction into the roster of fellows for the American Occupational Therapy Association. I was nominated by the faculty for being a pioneer in diversifying the field of occupational therapy. So I'm so honored and humbled and received that in San Antonio a couple of weeks ago.
Awesome. Well, I wanted to recognize you, and I didn't want to misstate it. So congratulations, and we are so very proud of you. It's just one portion of your contributions to your field of practice, but also to this university. So congratulations. Okay. We would normally at this point turn over on the agenda. It calls for us to turn over to have the student trustee report. Unfortunately, our student trustee, Essence Smart, who has been a strong contributor to this board throughout her tenure as a student trustee, had a conflict that she couldn't move today, and so she is not with us. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Trustee Schneider, who will preside over the Finance and Audit Committee report and resolution.
Thank you. And I will call on Mr. Craig Beach, Chief Financial Officer, to present the Financial Operations Report and three resolutions.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, trustees. It's great to actually see everybody in person today. So my first report is our third quarter financial report covering the time frame of July 1st, 2021 through March 31st, 2022. Overall, our net position has increased by about $6.7 million in that time to $162 million, which is a 4% increase year over year. And what I want to do is go over some of the main points of that change. First, an increase in federal grants with the HERF stimulus funding provided an increase of $4.3 million. We've also had a considerable increase in capital appropriations. Last year at this time, we had about $1.9 million. This year, we're at $5.2 million. And this is all very positive news. There's a lot of renovation and construction on campus, including the Robinson Center, Fire Alarm System, Athletic Center, Nursing Lab, and others. We also continue to show a reduction in our bonds payable, which is also very positive. We only have a little over two years left on our bonds. You will also see in the report that we have a decrease in compensation expenses of about $1.2 million compared to last year. And that is due to position vacancies with a continued challenge in hiring. Also, as I previously noted at the last two meetings, in the balance sheet you will see what is kind of an anomaly with a change in what's called deferred inflows of retirement benefits. And this is a resulting correction made by the state of Illinois in how it calculated retirement benefits across all state universities and agencies. And after the state made its correction, it actually resulted in a net positive increase to the university by $4.9 million. I also want to note that you will see that the student tuition and fee revenue is down about $2.9 million. From last year at this time, and this is due to the approximate 12% decrease in enrollment. You also see that travel, commodities, and contractual services and related expenses continue to show an increase, which is actually positive. It's just due to a return to more normal operations on campus. Another important point I wanted to make that is not shown in the financial statement is that the university did just receive a supplemental increase from the state of Illinois and its appropriation by 5%. All public universities received this, very positive news. So in the following report, the next time we do the financial report, you'll see an additional $1.7 million in our appropriation from the state. That concludes the financial report.
Okay, are there any comments or questions from the trustees?
Nope,
that's not for me. If none, then please continue with your first resolution.
So my first resolution is for pest control services. The university requires extermination services for all campus buildings. We completed an invitation for bid in the winter of 2022 for a new service or a new contract. Up until this point, for the last 4 years, we have used a company called RV Pest Solutions. RV Pest Solutions is a locally owned minority and woman-owned business. They have done a great job for us. We were fortunate that RV Pest Solutions once again won the bid for services here at Chicago State. So we therefore intend to award a 2-year service maintenance agreement to RV Pest Solutions with 4 2-year renewable options at the university's discretion. This agreement and its terms will be reviewed and approved by the university's interim general counsel, myself as the CFO, as well as our procurement director, as being in proper form and in accordance with applicable state law, procedures, and board regulations. So today we seek the authorization from the Board of Trustees to enter into a contract with RV Pest Solutions.
Okay, are there any questions or comments? If not, is there a motion to approve the pest control contract resolution?
So moved.
Second.
Ms. Bates,
please call the roll.
Yes. Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Yes.
And Chair Zott?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Mr.
Davis,
please continue.
Thank you. My next resolution is for tuition and fee waivers. Each year, the university conducts an analysis of the waivers which factor in to the level of waivers that should be budgeted for the following fiscal year. These waivers are a reduction in tuition and fees granted to various groups. These include ROTC, teacher special education, DCFS, senior citizens, athletic gender equity, employee waivers, veterans, and more. So what we do is we look at the mandated and discretionary waivers. We then do an assessment to project our enrollment in each one of those different categories for both undergraduate and graduate students to determine our budgeted waivers for the following year. We are, for fiscal year 23, we are proposing waivers of $1.4 million. This is a decrease of about $189,000 from the current year, or 12%, which is based on our enrollment. So we are therefore requesting for the approved waivers of $1.39 million.
Are there any questions or comments? And if not, is there a motion to approve the fiscal year 2023 tuition and fee waiver resolution?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, please call the roll.
Yes. Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Yes.
And Chair Zott?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Deutsch, please continue with your final resolution.
Thank you. My last resolution is for the approval of a collective bargaining agreement with the Metropolitan Alliance of Police, Chapters 144 and Chapters 297. The last agreement with the Metropolitan Alliance of Police ended July 2019. The university and MAP negotiated a new agreement, which we're requesting approval of today. The unions consist of Chapter 144, which is our police officers and police telecommunicators, and Chapter 297, which is our sergeants and lieutenants. The primary changes in the new agreement are for salary increases from the retroactive date of August 2019 through the end date of next June 2023. The only other primary change in the agreement was the elimination of the fair share payment provisions, which the elimination of that is a result of the Supreme Court decision in 2019. The union had an opportunity to review the agreement. The agreement was ratified by the union membership, and today we are seeking your approval for a 4-year contract effective August 1st, 2019 through July 31st, 2023.
Are there any questions or comments? If not, is there a motion to approve the collective bargaining agreement with the Metropolitan Alliance for Police, Chapter 144 and Chapter 297?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, please call the roll.
Yes. Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Yes.
And Chair Zoff?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. This ends the Finance and Audit Committee report.
Thank you. Trustee Schneider and Mr. Beach. I'm now going to call on Dean Nellie Nader, who will present our Did You Know segment. It's this month, or this meeting is on our Adult Integrated Learning Program.
Examples of adult learner is that guy on the corner of 95th and Calumet who operates a cleaner. It's also the owner of the resale shop on King Drive, 83rd Street. It's the owner of the Harold's Chicken on 97th and Cottage Grove who's walking across the stage next week. All of these are adult learners. And all of these have one thing in common. They were able to use their prior learning experiences to get credit in order to finish their degree. And we know that actually higher levels of education are generally associated with the likelihood of employment and the lower likelihood of unemployment. And so I want to talk about the two particular programs that we have at Chicago State University. In your folders, you have copies of two programs. We're going to focus on the Adult Integrated Learning Program. The Adult Integrated Learning Program, and you can just look at the flyer. This is a program that actually we probably had several years ago and we have just updated it. We call it the AIL program, and it is actually for, you can get a Bachelor's of Science or a Bachelor's of Arts in this particular program. And what's so interesting about this program is that it allows students to get up to 30 credit hours of life experience. What are they? It just depends on what the profession you're in. Talking to a person at the State Farm on 95th in Michigan, there was an employee in there who had been their accountant for years. No, their employee does not have a degree, but it has all of those experiences in accounting that he believes that he can look in the catalog and find classes that he could say, oh, I've done that, oh, I can do that, and get those credit hours. So that's an example of what we're trying to do in the Adult Integrated Learning Program. These are students who have been out there working, or they've been out of school at least 7 years, and they want to go back, come back to school, and they also want to continue. And so, this flyer just gives you some of the requirements that you need for this particular program. You earn college degrees based on life experiences. You can take exams. There are military training credits that you can get. There are volunteer activities that you can apply. And all this industrial training, there's there are programs at the community colleges where you don't get an AA, you don't get an AS, but you get an AAS. And so those, if you're in those particular training programs, you're not on the track to get a bachelor's degree. If you come into this particular program, we look at what you have been, we look at the type of training that you have actually accrued coming from those particular institutions. And we just kind of work with you and ask you a couple of questions. One very important question is, can you document the prior learning experience that you have done? And can you look at the classes that we have in our catalog and say, oh, I've done that. Yes, I can. Those learning outcomes, I can verify. And so we work with you. And so the admissions requirements, you see what they are. You have to have been out of school at least 7 years. You must have actually obtained 24 semester hours at an accredited institution. Come in with a minimum of a 2.0 GPA. And we have a lot of transfer students, and they have to come in good standing, meaning you have to come in with a 2.0. The requirement part, it just, you know, it tells you what you have to do. We have three classes that we offer in this particular program, in the continuing ed. One is the orientation. The other one is if you qualify for the prior learning, then you need to take that PLA class, and that will help you in order to get your portfolio. So what you have to do is to attend that particular class or take that class, and it actually helps you get an understanding of what do I need to do to get these credits. There's a particular part of our program where you have to complete up to 30 credit hours of upper division classes. But you can actually get those 30 credit hours in the portfolio that, if you can do it, will be very beneficial to you. And so that's the Adult Integrated Learning Program. It's actually a good program for individuals who can actually apply, again, the life experiences to our credits. And so we're really pushing this particular program because we know there are lots of adults out here, particularly in our community, who had to stop out for one reason or another. And so what we've been trying to do, we've been trying to recruit them. We've been going to various churches or chamber meetings or you have to go to where adults are. In the past, we've had a partnership with Seaway Bank where they would send students to the non-traditional degree program. We have a partnership with UW-Ford. They send students to Chicago State University. I was at the Discover Center on 86th in Cottage Grove, recruiting, set up a table. 24 people signed up as an interest. These are people who are working at a particular company, and they know that if they want to advance in this company, if they want more money and salary or whatever in this company, they have to deal with higher education. They must finish their degree. We also have been working with the fraternities and the sororities because we know that you can pledge in college as a freshman, but that doesn't mean that you graduate. Sometimes life happens and you leave the institution with no degree, but you're still of in the sorority, you're still in the fraternity. So what we've been doing is trying to reach out to them and say, hey, it's time for you to come back. It's time for you to get your degree. So we want you in the adult integrated learning program. The objective of that program, as I mentioned, is for you to complete a portfolio. We've had officers that were on campus that completed the portfolio. If they weren't so heavy, I would have brought one in to actually let you see them. Just tons of documentation, certifications, letters from their supervisors, celebrations of volunteer work. All of that demonstrates classes that perhaps we have on campus. We have partnerships with all of the colleges. If there is a class that a student thinks that they can qualify for a prior learning, we go to that particular college, work with the faculty member, work with the chairperson to make sure that that the student gets what they need. It's a fast-growing program in all of the universities, particularly the private ones in Chicago. I recently was reading an article. Columbia University in New York, they're boasting as the first Ivy League college that's dealing with adult learning. Because everybody knows that this is the population that we have at this particular time. And so we're trying to actually recruit in various places to make sure that we reach those students. And then on a quicker note, we have the flyer that's in your package, the individualized curriculum program. It's similar to the AIL program, but we have students that come on campus and say, you don't have my major, I want to create my own. And that's the basis for the ICP program. And I said, you want to preach? Maybe I want to do my own major. So they do this interdisciplinary studies program. And they get some classes from psychology, let's say, because they want to operate their own business. Well, I've got to really know how to deal with people. Well, I've got to do some accounting, so I better go take some classes from the College of Business. So we just have a relationship with the various colleges on campus, work with the students, help them create their own degree. And one thing interesting about this particular program is you have to successfully have completed 24 hours of college work. You don't have to be 25 years old. You can be an athlete here who actually is running out of eligibility, and you're coming to this program, but you have to do certain things. Here you've got to do a curriculum plan. We want to know what you're planning. You're going to get all of these classes from these various colleges and programs. What are you going to do with this? You have to tell us what your plan is. And this plan has to be approved by by the faculty advisor, but also by the dean of the program. And so, again, two programs for adult learners, two programs that will help us increase the enrollment here, but also more than that, will help us satisfy the needs of the community. Because that's what we're in this community for. One of the campaigns that I'm working on now is called See Me. And what I'm trying to do, or what we are trying to do in continuing ed, we're trying to kind of highlight those students that have done prior learning. We want to put them on the website. We want to put them posters across campus of this particular person. And under it will say, see me. This is what I did. This is where I came from. Just a small blurb. So that we want people to understand that Chicago State, we have all kinds of students here. We've got the adult learner. We've got the 18-year-old. we all can work together to make sure that we increase the enrollment here. Question?
I have a question. How many students do you currently have enrolled through these programs currently, do you know? I mean, I'm sure you know, but...
The adult and the both programs are, the individualized curriculum program, the enrollment is much higher, it's about 80-some students. The integrated adult integrated learning program is lower, I think it was like 56 or something. We've had concerns about, of course, everybody has talked about COVID, but we just kind of believe that we will get back to where we used to be. The individualized curriculum program has been here a while. The adult integrated learning program was the former Board of Governors program. And in that particular program, huge numbers of students, huge numbers. We're trying to get those numbers back. And we believe that by changing some things around, by updating some of the requirements, putting a little bit more rigor, we're going to get those students back.
Other questions for Dr. Mayer?
Well, thanks again, Mayor. But we also want to recognize your return. She has been with Chicago State. How long have you been?
I've been here since 2001. I've been in higher education since 1996. Did 23 years at Columbia College in the English department as an adjunct. Did 2 years at City College, and did 21 years, so it's time.
Thank you, Dean Maynard, and we are conducting the search for her role as a student.
Thank you, Dean Maynard.
Thank you very much.
Next, we will turn it over to Aaron Siva, VP of External Affairs, to present an update on external affairs.
Great. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Aaron.
So I look forward to presenting on three topics this afternoon. Want to share updates on strategies that we're using to enhance Chicago State's brand off campus and around the community, our progress with securing state and federal resources and recognition of our work, and thirdly, updates regarding our Child Development Center. So as it relates to strategies for enhancing Chicago State's brand, we want to raise awareness of who we are and what we offer, in part with the goal of increasing enrollment. And so we're using a wide range of strategies to achieve this goal. One of the big bodies of work is paid advertising. So all year round, we're doing advertising that appears on social media, search engines, and audio on platforms such as Spotify. We will soon be having a big increase in our presence, both in audio and what's called out-of-home advertising. This is quite intentional. Our enrollment tends to spike around this point in the year, in part because of our large reach with transfer students. Transfer students are often most inclined to look at going to a four-year institution after they get their grades. So any day now, they're receiving that information and looking at their transfer decisions. So we'll have advertising that will soon be launching in June on WBEC, WVON. And even now, you may be seeing some of what's called out-of-home advertising, so that's billboards, and that's also on CTA. So we have advertising that's appearing on the south and west side near our high schools and community colleges that are our largest transfer points. So if you see that, you know, tag Chicago State in it, and we will share it over social media. We're very excited about that. We also have had tremendous traction as it relates to what's called earned media, or the media coming to cover Chicago State's story. A couple of examples of what this looks like. We've had WBEZ on campus, so for our return to school, they did a live broadcast, spoke to President Scott, several of our students, several of our faculty members. Just to, 6 weeks ago, we had WPTW do a live broadcast from our campus as a part of a in-depth story they were doing on the Roseland community. And these are just the live broadcasts. It does not even speak to the fantastic coverage that we're receiving both in local news outlets but also with national outlets. A couple of examples of this would include Cranes doing interviews with Dean and President Scott on the leadership we're providing in terms of diverse pipelines into corporations. And I would also say that we have really carved out a niche for ourselves as it relates to being a thought leader on economic and social issues for minority communities. And so a lot of headlines that we could share with that, but we're just really pleased to see organic media coverage. You can't buy this. It's telling our story in a way that we never could. So secondly, I want to provide some updates on our progress with receiving recognition and resources at the state and federal level. So a few others stole some of my thunder as it relates to the State House, but in a wonderful way. So the legislature passed the budget last month, and so there was a 5% increase for next year's fiscal year, 5% one-time allocation for this fiscal year. And I think President Scott said this, but just to reiterate, this is truly a historic budget, both for Chicago State, but also the students that we serve. In my nearly 10 years of doing advocacy in higher education in Illinois, I've never seen this sort of investment in our institutions and students. And then another big development this year is that we have secured the release of $2.5 million for our Child Development Center. So that will be my pivot point in a moment to more details on the Child Development Center, but I want to first switch to federal resources. So we recently secured $450,000 from what's called the Congressional District Directed Spending. This is formerly known as earmarks. Earmarks were sunsetted for quite a while and resuscitated this last year. So we did secure one earmark, and that is for equipment that will go into our health sciences simulation lab. We are in the process of pursuing three additional earmarks, working with both of our senators and our congressmen. One other piece that I want to highlight as it relates to our federal work is we have emerged as a leader as it relates to representing the interests of predominantly Black institutions. That's our Department of Education designation. What we have found is that there's profound misunderstanding about who predominantly Black institutions are, the work that we do, the resources and needs that we have. So we formed a coalition. 12 other institutions across the country have signed on and taken action with us. And there's a wide range of asks that we have, but most immediately, we're looking to increase funding that goes to predominantly Black institutions through the annual appropriations. I'm pleased to report that this work was recognized by the U.S. Department of Education Secretary, Dr. Cardona, came to our campus as well with the Surgeon General to hear from our students, faculty, President Scott, Provost Roundtree about the important work that we're doing in this arena. And third update is as it relates to the Child Development Center. So this may be for some the first time that you're hearing about it, but let me invite you right now to our grand opening that's on June 1st. A formal invitation will follow later this week, so you can put it on your calendars. This has been a labor of love, a project that has taken years to get to this point. So the Child Development Center will have 70 slots. This will go to children from ages 3 and up. We've secured federal resources that will allow us to do evening hours, and this will go to our students who have children, as well as faculty and staff, but also community members. I was referencing earlier resources that we've received, the release of funds for. So what I just described, the 70 slots, that's phase one of our opening. A second phase, which will be supported by the funds we recently released, will go to children under the age of 3. So we know that that full spectrum of birth through ages 12 and up are quite important for our students in our community. And so more details to come on that, but it's our opportunity to recognize the various sources, the various funders, philanthropy, the public sector, individual donors, as well as to turn secure media coverage as well. I'll pause there for any questions.
Questions? We're having the opening. Yay, we're excited. I think I asked you this your update, but I don't think it mentioned, but it's, we will be recognizing Peggy Martinez, who's been a significant donor to the child center at the event.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Terrific. Any other comments or questions from the trustees? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, before we go into closed session, our last item is our bylaws. With the help of Tom Hyatt from Denton's Extra Law Firm and Walter Fires, our general counsel, we had a review of the bylaws done. We've had board members have had several, board trustees have had several opportunities to review the bylaws, to talk to Tom about the bylaws. I'm not going to belabor the changes. They're mostly administrative and/or aligning them with current law and practice. Are there any questions or comments on the bylaws? All right. With that, I'd like a motion to approve the CSU Board of Trustees bylaw amendments.
So
moved. Ms. Bates, will you please call the roll? I'm sorry. I need a second.
Second.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. President Scott. Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Yes.
And Chair Zuck?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously. All right, we're now going to move to executive session, and I move to move into executive session. Do I have a second?
Right.
Ms. Bates, would you please call the roll?
Yes.
Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee Davis?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Yes.
And Chair Zuck?
Yes.
Motion passes. All right, we are going to move into executive session. We will reconvene when the executive session is complete.
Thank you.